ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to The Inspired Evolution, a show dedicated to helping you actually live the life that you love. I'm your host, Amrit Sandhu, international speaker, global coach, and loving podcaster. As a gift for tuning into this podcast, I have something really special just for you. My premium short course, which can teach you how to meditate in just 7 days, you can download it now at www.inspiredevolution.com/learn. That's www.inspiredevolution.com/learn. Learn how to meditate in just 7 days. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this powerfully insightful conversation. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the latest episodes launching every Monday, designed to help you live the life you love and keep you inspired to evolve. I think it's all angels just walk by. Welcome to the Inspired Evolution, and it's a treat and it's an honor to be here today. We have with us John Asaraf. John, how are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me. And you took me by surprise, a little bit of a shock because we were talking so calm and so like composed, and all of a sudden hear this screaming. I thought maybe somebody hit you across the head.
No, it's just me hitting myself across the head, just waking myself up. For those tuning into John for the first time, let me quickly do the honors. This does not by any means encompass everything that he's up to, but there is just so much that is rich and ripe in John's space. He's built 5 multi-million dollar companies. He's written 2 New York Times best-selling books. He's featured in 8 movies, including the one that we all love, The Secret, and The Quest for Success, with people such as Richard Branson and the Dalai Lama. Dude, today he's the founder of and the CEO of NeuroGym, and the company is dedicated to using the most advanced technologies and evidence-based brain training methods to help individuals such as yourself and myself unleash our fullest potential and maximize our results. He recently wrote a new best-selling book called Inner Size, right? And it's the science unlocking the brain's hidden power, helping people recognize and release mental and emotional blocks that prevent us from achieving life's biggest goals and dreams. And I hope we get to talk a little bit about that today. Thank you so much for being here.
It's so great to be here. Thanks for the wonderful intro.
Always here to I still don't think that does you justice, man. I really don't think that does you justice. Okay. One of the things that comes up for me is, you featured on The Secret, and there's this conversation around the law of attraction. And we can totally attract and call things into our life. And I believe in that. But there's also this conversation around the law of Goya. What is the law of Goya, John?
So in the movie, The Secret, the premise of the whole movie, started off with, Rhonda Byrne reading, Wallace Wattles' work back in the, probably 50s and 60s, and then Napoleon Hill's book, we become what we think about most. And, the world around the law of attraction, a lot of people misunderstand the law of attraction to think that there's some kind of magnetic field or force that gets attracted to you when you have certain thoughts. Mm-hmm. And if that was true, then every time you thought of an elephant or every time you thought of an oak tree, it would manifest in your living room if that's where you were standing. And so it doesn't really work like that. But even when we talk about the law of attraction, the last six letters of the word attraction is action. And most people don't understand that with the law of attraction, there's something that, I learned 40 years ago called the law of Goya. And it's the get off your ass law. And it's not just get off your ass, right? We all know that there's the world of quantum physics and quantum mechanics, the world of the unseen. Mm-hmm. And then there's the world of the seen, our physical world. And we have laws that govern the physical world. Mm-hmm. Gravity, for example, being one, but there's also laws of the unseen world. We're learning things about the quantum field. But specifically the law of Goya around get off your ass in the physical world, when we get into action and we do the right things in the right order at the right time, there seems to be this effect that appears like it's magic. And yes, maybe it starts off with having the right thoughts. And yes, maybe it continues with having the right emotions, but it continues to having the right behaviors as well. So, I can give you, this Rubik's Cube. And if you don't know the algorithms of how to solve it or how to even think about solving it, you can literally spend a million years just with all of the possible combinations and moves you can make with a 3x3x3 Rubik's Cube. You want a more complex one? Go for that one. You want a more complex one? Solve that one. You want a more complex one? Solve that one. Right. Now, why do I start there? I start there because there are certain behaviors that are irrefutable and they will work every time. And Rubik's cubes, whether it's 2x2, right, or more complex ones, there are certain patterns that when you understand the pattern, you can not only solve, the 2x2 or the ones that divide, into, different geometric shapes that you can then, reconfigure and then put back together. When you understand the pattern of how things work in the physical world, then you can actually achieve greater success. And as you do it, you happen to find other people that like Rubik's cubes, then they show you how to do it faster and easier than they've done before. And they show you, oh my God, you're good at those. Try this one. but it all stems from, yes, thoughts, yes, believing that you can, but then you have to back up what you think and believe with what you do.
I love that.
And here's something that's, I think, self-evident, but some people don't think about this is, do we know how, for example, to make $1 million in growing a business right now, any business? The answer is yes. Okay, so the how-to exists. Do we know how to release weight and keep it off in 2021? Yeah. Do we know how to put a woman on the moon and time it within a fraction of a second? Yes. Do we know how to have a better relationship if that's where we really want it? Yes. Do we know how to leave a job we hate and make the transition and adapt and find and love a job that we love? Yeah. So the how is not the issue. Unless you don't know it. But it all starts with aligning different aspects of our being.
And that was one of the things that I read in your books was that, a lot of people know how, if we all know and have access to the how, and this, I think from one of your businesses in real estate is where this stemmed from, if I'm remembering the context correctly, you gave so many people the same trainings. But not everybody, the results weren't the same for everybody. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Sure. So when I was building my very first company, I was 26 years young, and I'd been a successful real estate agent because I learned the skills. I upgraded my mindset using, you know, the process that I now teach and have an entire body of work on that my new book, Inner Size, is all about. When I was hiring some of the best personal development gurus in the world to speak to my, I had 1,200 salespeople in my company and 85 offices. I would hire people like who, like what I do now. I would hire people like me, you know, back then, you know, 30 some odd years ago. And everybody would be motivated. Everybody would be high-fiving, writing out their goals. Oh my God, what I just learned was incredible. It's going to change my life. I'm going to make so much more money. I'm going to get the awards. I'm going to take my trip, my kids on a trip and my family on a trip, blah, blah, blah. And they were excited for about a week. And then behavior went back to normal. I go, wow, motivation lasts a very short period of time. And when I dove deeper into what is the difference between people who set goals from people who achieve goals, are there things that we know about, you know, this biocomputer, right? $100 billion organism called our brain. And every brain works the same way, unless there are, you know, anomalies, but 99.9% of brains work the same way, like, you know, engines to a car, right? 99% work the same way.
Yeah, combustion.
Of course, there's so functionally they work the same way. So I said, what is it that is holding my agents back? And at the time we were, you know, what caused this question is we were stuck, and we were stuck in a really good place. So don't get me wrong. We were doing $1.2 billion a year in sales. After 5 years, but we were stuck. And I was like, why are we stuck? I'm giving them the training, the motivation, the back then was cassette tapes with, you know, how to list homes, how to sell homes, what to say. If they say this, you say that. If this happens, do this instead. It's like, and we were training. And despite training and helping them upgrade their knowledge and skills and awareness of being a real estate agent, they were stuck. And I could predict with certainty, you know, Mary, she's going to win this award this year. Joe is going to win this award. Sally, oh, she makes $100,000 every year or more. We could predict with certainty how many awards in which categories to order a year before we needed them.
Wow.
Why? And the answer is, once we become conditioned, whether it's earning a certain amount, once we become conditioned to looking a certain way, once we become conditioned to living a certain lifestyle, being in a certain relationship, having or not having, you know, debt, we repeat patterns as part of our brain's way to conserve energy and to keep us in our homeostasis comfort zone. And so when I started to research, you know, what would it take to break people free from their conditioning. I had to go back to what my mentor did with me when I was, you know, 19, 20, 21. And not only did he work on helping me upgrade my knowledge and skills for 1 hour a day, he also had me training my brain to develop the beliefs required to achieve the goals. He also worked with me on upgrading my self-image, self-worth, and my self-esteem. He also worked on helping me manage my emotions of doubt and fear and uncertainty as I was getting from one level to the next. And so every day he and I, you know, would do a series of what today I call inner sizes, right? To upgrade my capacity as I upgraded my skills. And so, you know, I became a successful real estate agent, a successful entrepreneur, because I worked on my inner game as much as I did my outer game. So in 1992, I said, okay, here's what's happening. They're not stuck because they're not learning what to do. They're stuck because something is preventing them from applying what they are learning to
the adherence.
Do.
Yeah.
Right. So I said, okay. So I took 75 agents from my 1,200 and I said, let's do a little test. Whoever is willing to upgrade their mindset to match the skill set, I'll coach you every day for 6 months. And I'll show you exactly what I did. And you're going to hold each other accountable. We're not going to talk at all about the skills to sell more real estate. Mm-hmm. And I had 75 people pay $3,000 for 100 days of coaching with me and a few people that I put in play to help me. Mm-hmm. And over those next 6 months, those 75 agents increased sales by $100 million more than they normally did.
Whoa.
$100 million. It was almost 1.5 million per agent, like 1.3 or 1.4 million extra sales.
Wow.
Over the averages. Now, in that 6 months, that translated to about $50,000 extra for each one of them.
Yeah.
It translated obviously to me and my company making money, but it proved to me that if we worked on the inner game, we can affect the outer game. Mm. So over the next several years, guess what I did with my other agents? We worked on the inner game as much, and our sales went from 1.2 million to 2 million to 3.5 to 4.5 billion. Whoa. Sorry, 1.2 billion to 4.5 billion over the next 3 years.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That's the jump that we made.
Yes.
And we didn't have to teach any more selling skills, because once they increased their capacity for their self-image, seeing themselves achieving more, experiencing achieving more, believing achieving more, managing their emotions, they naturally applied what they already knew. And so that was the beginning of me getting really into this neuroscience game. And I guess for the last, 40 years, I've been into behavioral neuroscience research, but then applying stuff in my own life, helping my children and family. But then also in the last, 15 years or so, really, sharing all the lessons to the world and what we do and how we do it.
Man, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing the background of where all of this comes from. It is inspiring to say the least. And one of the things that, I think it's when you dive, when we dive deep into your work, I find, there's this conversation which is really present, which is where what we're dancing around today as well is, we're all living into this story. There's these stories that we're all living into, and then the stories themselves have these patterns that are woven into them. And you're just playing out these patterns again and again based on the stories that we're living into. And at the heart of all of that is what you've just alluded to, is the inner work, is these beliefs that we're holding. And that's where the inner meets the outer. Is that correct?
Beliefs are one of the four things that hold people back. So, and again, when we get into the, the neuromechanics, right? So we get into the workings of this organism called your brain. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that it does or doesn't do. So if we have a limiting belief, like I'm too young, too old, too white, too black, too Asian, Caucasian, Indian, Hindi, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever the belief is that may be a limiting or disempowering belief, beliefs are the lens by which our brain projects and sees the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if we have a limiting belief, our brain makes that limiting belief exactly what we see in the world. So we see the evidence of the belief. We don't see the evidence of what's out there. We see the evidence of the belief because our brain deletes or distorts anything that doesn't match with the belief.
Because I read somewhere you shared that there was people that went through plastic surgery on their faces and they didn't see themselves as any different.
Well, that's because we don't see with our eyes. We see with our brain. Our eyes allow light to come in, and our brain is predicting ahead of anything that we do, you know, what is that, right? Our subconscious is processing information at the rate of 400 billion bits of information per second. Oh. So if there's a pattern that we see out there, it analyzes it against the pattern that we already have in our memory bank, and it fills in the rest in a billionth of a second. Mm. So we don't see what there is to see, what we project, what we have gotten used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And our brain will delete or distort anything that doesn't match our current internal map of reality. Mm-hmm. But more than that, it'll cause us to see evidence based on our current map of reality. So it looks for cues to confirmation bias, the pattern that we already have developed. Now, here's where this gets interesting. Were you born with any beliefs? No. Were you born, you know, with any habits? No. Were you born with any meanings of something? You know, is this good or bad? Will this hurt me or not? Can I eat this or not? Like, you don't know, right? So through the process of learning and through the process of giving things meanings and through the process of the emotional experiences we had with our parents, our environment, our teachers, our siblings, we develop these neural patterns. And initially, you know, when we're born for the first 3 years, you know, we're in the imprinting years, then we're in the modeling years, then we are in the experiential years, and then we are in the reinforcement years. So after the age of 12 to 15, we're in the reinforcement part of our brain's development. So we're just reinforcing patterns, and our brain doesn't say, is this a good pattern or a bad pattern? Is this constructive or destructive? No, that's what we're supposed to do. But the part of our brain that becomes wired or conditioned, it doesn't make a decision good or bad. It uses senses and experiences and things that hurt us or things that are painful or things that are pleasurable to formulate an opinion. And then that opinion reinforces itself. And then that's all we see.
Manifests into reality.
Mm-hmm. It manifests into reality. So when we think about limiting beliefs, that's one aspect of it. Mm. But there's also very other powerful. And there's four things that hold us back.
What are they? So yeah.
So the second one is fear. So when we think about the word fear, through the neuroscience research that we do, neuropsychology, all of the research shows there's about 50 different types of fears. Mm. Now, why is it important to understand the emotion of fear? Fear is one of our six core emotions. Mm-hmm. So shame is another one. Disgust is another one, just for example, right? Mm-hmm. So when we have a fear signal, imagine you're driving your car and your light on your dash pops up. Like, do you ever take a hammer and hit the light? Well, of course not. It's just a signal to maybe your back tire needs some air. Maybe your windshield wiper fluid is low. It's a signal. Hmm. So in the human brain, fear happens to be one of the most intense signals that is very, very, very sensitive. Why? Well, that signal is our signal to pay attention that something might be jeopardizing our life and our safety. Something might be causing us harm, whether it's physical harm, financial harm, emotional harm, or pain. And so the signal is highly sensitive. It's evolved for 2 million years, and it operates beneath your level of awareness at first. So if, let's say, I'll give you an example. I was with a friend of mine last night, and I was saying to him, I said, if I asked you this question, how would you feel? I said, imagine that I brought a 10-foot python right now, you know, and I asked you to hold it and to caress and take pictures. What would you do? And we were standing here in San Diego, in La Jolla. He said, I'd freaking jump over this fence and dive into the water.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay. And for me, if somebody brought a 10-foot python, I'd actually go towards it and ask the owner if I can pet it and take a picture with it. Mm. So how is it that you are having that reaction, mm-hmm, and I'm having a move towards reaction? You're having a run away from reaction. I'm having a move towards reaction. Mm. And the reason is at the subconscious level, the meaning that I have associated with a 10-foot python is, oh my God, that's so cool. That's neat. I want to hold it. And the meaning he had was, this is dangerous. It might, you know, wrap itself around me and kill me. So our brain is processing all incoming stimuli, whether it's through our eyes, our ears, what we touch, or what we think about. And it's balancing it against, is this something that can kill me, or cause me pain or discomfort? Or is this something I'm going to move towards that'll give me pleasure and reward?
The response to the signal.
It's in response to the signal. Well, it's in reaction to the signal, right? So the thing that we have to understand is, let's say you have a goal. It doesn't matter what that goal is. Let's say it's to double your income. It's to lose weight and look great and feel amazing on the beaches of Melbourne. But let's say on the weight loss one, you've lost weight before and you've gained it back. You lost weight. People told you how good you looked. You look great. You looked in the mirror like high-fiving yourself, but then you gained all the weight back and your husband or wife or friend said, what happened? Oh, I just got embarrassed.
Mm.
So now when I'm thinking about losing weight again, there's a memory in my brain that says, if you do this again and you lose the weight and gain it back, you might be embarrassed again. Mm-hmm. You might be disappointed again. You might disappoint your children or your spouse again. So when this memory activates against the goal that I want, in a billionth of a second, I might think twice, because I will do more to avoid pain, whether it's real or imagined, than I will to gain pleasure.
Mm.
Why? I'm biologically wired to do that.
Mm.
So let's take money. Mm. You set a goal. I want to double my income this month or this year. And you, oh my God, that would be great. Then I can get a new car. I can go on that trip. I can help my children. I can help my spouse. I can start that business. I can leave my job. And you get really excited, right? Mm. So you've just released a little dopamine in your brain because it's exciting. You may have even released a little adrenaline, which is you know, a little energy for you to actually take action. But then in the very next nanosecond, there's a part of your brain, I call it the Frankenstein's monster, right? That says, yeah, but what if you don't achieve it? But what if you fail? What if you're embarrassed, rejected, ashamed, or ridiculed for that idea? Mm-hmm. You know what? This job isn't that bad. You know what? I'm making enough money. Who needs a nicer car and this, that trip? It's winter out. It's summer out. We start to rationalize, which means that our brain comes up with rational lies why we should stay in our comfort zone.
Love that.
Now, unless you're paying attention, or unless, you know, somebody like me is doing the research to share with you, here's what's actually happening, the mechanics of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Most people just keep on repeating patterns over and over and over again. And they haven't learned the art of awareness first.
Mm-hmm.
Then they haven't learned the art of interrupting patterns second. Mm-hmm. And then they haven't learned the art of retraining their brain to a higher level of thinking and feeling and behavior. Mm-hmm. And that is not a lack of ability issue. It's a lack of skill issue.
How to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now in the domain of skill, everybody's brain works the same. Teach me the skill. Right. So we have limiting beliefs, we have fear, and then we have self-image disconnects. Mm. So let's say I want to have X, Y, or Z, but I really don't feel like I deserve it or I'm worthy of it. So I have this goal that excites me. I want it, but there's a hidden part of me that says, but, you know, are you really worthy of that? Do you really feel you deserve that? So when we come back to, when people have had plastic surgery and they don't see the surgery that they did, it's because their brain has a memory of the pattern that's been dominant for one or two or three or 10 or 20 years. So their brain is what sees. And so when they see their initial plastic surgery and they go, wow, did you even touch my face? They're not looking at the image that you and I would see in the mirror or in front. They're looking, they're seeing a memory of their face that has been reinforced for as many years as they had their old face. Does that make sense?
Totally. It's a conditioned, like a conditioned response, basically. Right. Yeah.
So then the question then becomes, well, can I retrain my brain?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. And this is where, again, where inner science comes in. This is where all my brain training programs I've built for the last 10 years on winning of money, winning of fear, winning of procrastination, winning of weight loss, winning of business. It all starts with the re-scripting, reshaping, repatterning the subconscious patterns while you upgrade your knowledge and skills and your behaviors. So now we have a synergistic approach to learning consciously, but retraining our brain subconsciously to match so that we don't sabotage and procrastinate.
Get in our own way.
That's right.
And the fourth one there, John?
Knowledge and skills. So when I don't have the knowledge and skills to achieve the goal that I want, well, then I have doubt. And when I have doubt, I have uncertainty. And when I have uncertainty, a trigger in our brain, a circuit in our brain says, okay, you have doubt and uncertainty, which means there may be some pain associated with you trying to achieve this. So in a state of doubt or fear or uncertainty, the circuit gets activated as a protective mechanism to make you aware. Because you're lacking the knowledge and the skills, okay, I'm going to activate the brakes in your brain so that you don't proceed because you might get spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, or financially hurt. So it says you might get hurt. So in our brain, the part of our brain that's causing this to happen, it doesn't differentiate between real or imagined. It just says, here is the potential or the probability if it's happened before.
And what I'm hearing also is the negative probability is blown out a little bit as well. Yeah.
Right. So I'm gonna come back to a story around snakes again. And that's why I use it. Many years ago when we did I used to do live events. We brought on a 10-foot python to weigh 300 pounds. It was about a 12-foot python. And this one
just casually, just a live event with John.
One woman got up and ran to the other side of the auditorium that we were in. She was in her 60s from the Philippines. And when I saw that she was running away, I was like, why do you have such a reaction to a snake? Right. And so I asked them to put the snake, backstage. We were actually doing an event and part of the event was fear factor. So we had people either, touch a tarantula or let tarantula crawl on their arms or a snake. We had worms that people ate and stinky cheese that people ate. And this woman, took off and I said, do you mind if I interview you on stage? And she says, yeah, sure. And she's looking for the snake, like it's going to come scream, crawling out. And I said, how did you develop such a fear of snakes? She goes, television. I go, television? You ran across the auditorium to get away from the snake. What do you mean television? And she went on to share that when she was a young girl, she and her brother and sister were watching a movie. And in the movie, in the Philippines, on black and white TV, this snake killed some of the villagers. And she associated snakes with killing and dying. And then her brother and sister taunted her that the snake was going to come and get her that night. She had never seen a real snake. She had never touched a real snake. Just this one incident on TV created this feeling with her of being petrified because of the association snake equals me dying. Of course she'd get up and run.
Of course.
So she didn't have the skill the knowledge or the skill of what to do with the snake. So we did a little repatterning with her for about 20 minutes. And then we brought the snake out and she was calm and she was petting it and she was taking pictures and she was kissing the snake 20 minutes later. Wow. Because we helped her understand what was causing it. Mm-hmm. Then we helped access part of her brain that had the associations. We did some repatterning work with her. Mm-hmm. And within 20 minutes, she was like, yeah, I love snakes. Oh my God, they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we did that with several other people that had fear of snakes. But again, the story is not about snakes. The last part was she didn't have the right information, the right knowledge, and she didn't have the skill of how to overcome it. And she didn't know what to do. So she did what she was normally used to doing, is just she was a runner, right? And when the fear circuit's activated, the uncertainty circuit's activated, the doubt circuit is activated in our brain, we will flee, run away, which mm-hmm. she did. We will freeze, which some people did, you know, or we'll try to fight it. Mm-hmm. And that's our fear response. That is part of what every human being is biologically wired to do. And there's actually some people that will faint.
Mm.
Fight, flight, freeze, or faint. The four F's.
Gotcha. So where you're alluding to, and you've mentioned words like, you know, disrupting the associations, you know, I got a little bit around, you know, there's awareness is kind of the first point, and then we know we can interrupt it and then retrain. Is there a model attack of approach? Like, what is your attack of approach? Is it universal across the four different ways that we limit ourselves, or is it unique to each different one? How do we actually go about approaching so that we can disrupt these patterns and create new, better ones?
There's a variety of different ways to do it. So one of the methodologies is, first and foremost, when you're in a state of procrastination, doubt, anxiety, stress, like, what do we know about that state from a brain perspective and nervous system perspective, right? So again, if I was to move aside and I just said to you, okay, talk to my brain, because that's what you're talking to, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So this is what you're actually talking to. And there's a nervous system at the bottom of the brain stem that's divided into two parts. One is the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight, flight, freeze, reactive side of us. Then we have our parasympathetic, which is our ability to relax and respond. So in a reactive state of fear, anxiety, stress, oh my God, where we're constricted, when we're breathing shallowly, when our heartbeats increase, when we start to sweat, we know that that's the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is active. So the process is first to deactivate that neural pattern, that nervous system. And a simple way to do that is breathing. So we know that when we're in that active state of reacting in the form of stress or anxiety, when we even talk about the word stress, the definition of stress is when the demand exceeds your capacity. So when the demand exceeds your current capacity, it triggers stress, which can be in the form of anxiety, could be a form of doubt, fear, uncertainty, or panic in some cases. So I can deactivate that part of my brain, since I have a brain, but I'm not my brain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How? Inner size number one in my book, and what I teach almost every one of our clients, is if you take six breaths through your nose as slowly as you can. Deep, 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 bring it in. Hold it for 1 or 2 seconds. And then as you breathe out, pretend there's a straw in your mouth and breathe it like you're breathing out through a straw as slowly as you can. Just feel yourself melting, releasing the stress. Do that 6 times. We can actually see blood flow moving away from that part of the brain, the Frankenstein brain, and moving back towards what I call the Einstein brain. We can actually see the blood flow. When that stress response, fear response, anxiety response, doubt response, uncertainty response activates, we can actually see blood moving away from the motivational cortex of the brain, moving away from the behavioral center of the brain. And then in a state of calmness, now I've just brought online my Einstein brain, my executive director, my CEO, my power center of my brain. And then if I go to inner size number two, inner size number two is called Aya. The first one's called Take Six, Calm the Circuits First. Inner size number two is called Aya. And Aya is A-I-A, stands for this: in an aware state, aware of my thoughts, emotions, feelings, sensations, and behaviors without judgment, blame, shame, guilt, or justification. In an aware state, if I could be aware of a pattern that has just happened that caused me to be triggered, and if I didn't judge myself, but I just was in a nice, calm, aware state, in that calm state, I can say, okay, I was just stressed, anxious, uncertain, doubtful, fearful that I might lose, I might fail, I might be embarrassed, I might be ashamed, I might be ridiculed, I might disappoint myself. Calmly, what's my intention? That's the I. So A is for awareness. I is for intention. My intention is to be self-confident. My intention is to be focused on my vision and my goals. My intention is on focus on being productive the next 15 minutes. My intention is to take inspired action. Awesome. Got the intention now. So now we have the right part of our brain working, the orchestra leader, with an intention. And the second A in Aya is, what is one small action step I could take towards what I want and away from what I don't want? So in a reactive state, I am going to behave based on my highest level of skill in that state. So now I'm going to deliberately and consciously evolve myself through awareness, intention, and small action steps towards what I want. So those two simple to do inner sizes now allow me to control my brain better, which is my $100 billion organism. And now I'm going to direct it versus allowing it, which has been conditioned by my parents, grandparents, teachers, siblings, what's worked, what hasn't worked, what makes me comfortable or not in my past. I'm going to override its natural, normal, easy to follow pattern to conserve energy and keep me in homeostasis. So in the awareness and the interruption of the pattern and the deliberate choice of what I do want versus what I don't like or want, now I'm evolving myself. And if I did that for the next 100 days, I would have a new pattern that became a dominant pattern. And my old patterns would start to dissipate. So those are just two simple inner sizes. And I call, if you do one, it's an inner size. If you do two or three or four or five together, it's called an inner size stack. Nice. So for anybody who, right? So for anybody who, you know, has done any weight training, you know, and you maybe do, you know, some sit-ups and some crunches and some stuff, you're doing maybe three different exercises for your abs or three different exercises for your chest or for your cardio. Well, inner sizes you can do to increase your focus, your awareness, your beliefs, your habits, your self-confidence. And so we can develop, and I've developed a bunch of inner sizes to be able to strengthen your mind where it may be weak in certain areas.
And so I love it. And I love that it's just one small action. You know, I often find just, you know, when I calm down, I center, even just like writing things down for like the next day, like writing a to-do list, like even just brings the energy out of my head into reality, or just sending off an email or sending an email to my PA saying, hey, I need you to hold me accountable for this, you know, just like small little tasks. I love that. And I think just to sort of remind everybody, you know, the context of small actions from someone that's built 5 multi-million-dollar companies, like let that really come home to you. Yeah. Let me just
say something. You will never get really great at the complex stuff if you don't master the simple stuff. Mm. You just won't. You can't master complexity without mastering simplicity first.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah. Right. So let's start with easy stuff that I can do, that I can override my brain to say, I don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. And let's reduce the resistance so that we take inspired action instead of move away from it.
Mm. I love that, John. And so the resistance pieces is what I wanted to ask you a little bit about as well, because I know, like, you know, having that awareness, setting that intention, coming back to our breath, like initially coming back to exercise one is to come back to our breath, and then having that awareness, working with intention, you know, oftentimes when we try to set a new behavior or approach a new way of being, you know, we may stick to it for a week, we may stick to it for 2 weeks, we may stick to it for 3 weeks. But then over time, you know, you mentioned this earlier, sometimes motivation starts to dissipate. How long does it take for us to entrench a new behavioral pattern in? And any tips in terms of us not slipping in towards that effort?
Sure. 66 days to 365 days is the new research, depending on how complex it is. You know, within your own neural circuits. Mm-hmm. So we know that there are accelerators, you know, so we can visualize ourselves, and visualization is simulation, you know, spaced repetition, you know, repetition is the mother of learning and skill, mm-hmm. but whatever we practice, we make permanent. Mm-hmm. And so we want to set ourselves up to be able to do, you know, 100 days of something. And one of the things I teach all of my students is, at first, you know, the habit is more important than intensity or duration at first. Mm. And you're already 100% disciplined to your current habits. So if we want to develop a new habit, whether it's of, you know, being more aware or behaving a different way, what is the minimum that you can commit to doing that you will stick to for 100 days?
Mm.
Just give me the minimum. Let's start there.
Yeah.
And then let me I'll teach you some tricks. A trick this morning, okay? And I've been using this for years. I was on the Stairmaster working out this morning, and I'm getting ready for a ski trip. So I exercise a lot more, especially my cardio and my legs before a ski trip. And mm-hmm. so I'm on doing my Stairmaster, which I normally do. And then today was interval training at a higher level intensity. And so, you know, I did several 30-second, 45-second, 1 minute high intensity, you know, very, very fast intervals. And at one point I said, okay, I'm going to stop right now. And then I caught myself and I said, just do 15 more seconds, right? So I became aware of my self-talk. Then I overrode my self-talk, and I didn't just do 15 more seconds. I did 30 more seconds. So the very fact that I wanted to quit, right? Like I was breathing. I was panting heavy. I wanted to quit, right? And I heard the self-talk. I did an override. I said 15 more seconds, I ended up doing 30. I did that several times, and I ended up with a much better workout because I've practiced that. Mm-hmm. So when I feel like quitting, when I feel like saying no, I just say, I know, but let's just do a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my go-to next step when I hear it. Mm-hmm. And we all hear it. So we all, our greatest growth comes at our point of resistance. It doesn't come in doing the same thing. Our greatest growth comes from being resistant mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever, and then pushing past that and pushing past that and pushing past that until we've developed a new comfort zone and pattern. So if you don't feel like it, say, I know, but just do a little bit.
Mm.
I don't feel like doing that. I said, I know, but what's a little bit that I can do and I want to do? Well, nothing. Well, I know it's nothing, but what's just a little bit? Can you do 10 seconds? Ah, sure, I could do 10 seconds. Even that is better than saying no to yourself, because then your old patterns are controlling you versus you controlling them. So when we say yes to ourselves, when we just push a little bit more, then we just built some self-trust with us that we can give ourselves a command and do it. We've just built some self-confidence. We've just built some certainty that we can override this little, you know, gremlin in our head, okay, that wants to keep us stuck. And when we realize I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my feelings, I'm not my emotions, I'm not my behaviors, I have all of those, I'm going to gravitate towards the ones that are normal and easy for me. And then anything outside of that, there's going to be resistance. And when I have resistance, here's my playbook. Very few people have a playbook. Their playbook is to succumb. No, your playbook needs to override.
Man,
and that's some brain training for you.
I love that. Thank you so much. And there's one of the biggest takeaways I've gotten from you just like following your work for so long is the conversation around progress versus perfection. And you've been talking about that for a while. So one of the key things that I'm actually hearing, and one of the things that really, I wish there was a different word for it, but literally something that healed me, John, in your work that when I was tuning into it was, you know, I've had people say that affirmations don't work. Yeah. Like I've had this again and again, people go, you know, when you tell yourself consistently things, because there's a little niggly voice in the back of your head that goes, yeah, bullshit. You know, it's like, I'm empowered. Yeah. But bullshit. You wouldn't have to tell yourself that if you are that, you know, and it's like, yeah, bullshit. And following your work, it was like, you know, you quite clearly call out, yeah, there is an inner critic in there. And yes, that's happening, but don't give up on your, because that encouraged me to sort of say, oh, maybe affirmations don't work, because I do hear that inner voice, but it's like, no. That inner voice does exist. It's just a matter of letting this program supersede this program given a certain period of time. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I want you to just for just a second, ask yourself this question or a couple of questions. This is for everybody, right? Are you your hand? And the answer is, well, I'm not my hand. Are you your heart? Well, no, I have a heart. You know, are you your kidneys? Well, no, I have kidneys. But are you your brain? And the answer is, no, you're not your brain. There's another part of you that when you get in touch with that spiritual intelligence within you, you can say, okay, I have a hand or two. I have a heart. I have kidneys. I have a brain. And my brain's been conditioned, and this is how it works. And I could understand how it works, and then I could override what it naturally wants to do because I understand why it's doing it. So if I say to you, that when you do an affirmation, chances are you're going to feel uncomfortable at first. You may have, you know, negative self-talk. You may have fear. You may have doubt. You may have uncertainty. You may have, you know, this emotion and even the self-talk that you're not good enough for that and you don't deserve that. Take that for just a moment, set it aside and play a game with me, okay? And this is for everybody. I want you to imagine that you are sitting at a cafe, you know, when things open up and you can sit at a cafe safely. And across from you, maybe 5-6 tables across from you, there's a Hollywood or Bollywood or an actor or actress or even a sports celebrity that you just like, oh my God, that person, I just love their work. And imagine they looked at you and they waved. And then they set you to come over and you went over and they go, hey, listen, we're just sitting here and there's two of them sitting there and you know them. We're just sitting, we have this script. This happens to be my Exceptional Life Blueprint. But let's imagine this is a script for a short little movie, okay, that they want to make. And they said, listen, we've been reading the script. We think it's phenomenal. And we just looked at you and you seem like the character, one of the characters in this script. And do you act? And you say, no, I don't act. I mean, I have some fun. I like TV. I like movies. And they said to you, listen, if you read the script and you like it, we're willing to offer you one million, either Aussie dollars, US dollars, whatever, or 10 million, if you just learn this 5-minute script, and then we'll give you a coach, we'll give you the research that you need to understand the script. You just need to memorize the script. And you said, oh my God, okay. What would you do after the contract was signed and you got a 50% deposit for the $1 million, 500 grand in your account? What would you do on day one to take something you have never resonated with because you've never seen it? What would you do with words on a piece of paper that you have to learn how to recite without memory? Or, I'm sorry, without the paper in front of you because a TV camera is going to be in front of you. Like, what would you do to become that role if you were serious?
You'd be reading it.
How often?
Oh, like religiously.
But what if you felt uncomfortable at first? Well, I mean, what if you took it and it said something like, my relationship with our entire NeuroGym team is rock solid and built on trust, mutual respect, and love. Ooh, who would write that for their, you know, for their thing about their business? We are building a high performance team that people love to be a part of. My relationship with the people who follow my work is fun and invigorating and fulfilling. We are strategically, like, if that was a script that you've never heard before, and you had to memorize it and feel it and then play the role of a successful business owner, a successful entrepreneur, or whatever. Could you do it with practice and coaching and commitment?
Yes.
So that means that I could take something that somebody else wrote and I can make it part of who I am. And with practice, I can actually get in front of a camera and say my body and all its organs were created by the infinite intelligence in my subconscious mind. It knows how to heal me. I can recite something that was on a piece of paper and make it mine and have somebody else believe that I believe that. And maybe I would even start to believe it. And if I impressed it, something that took conscious effort at first, and I impressed it in my subconscious mind so that I could recite it on command out of a dead sleep. Do you think maybe that's what an affirmation could be like, or a vision or goals could be like? Now, affirmations don't work for people who don't know the process or don't know how to practice to make it part of who they are. They believe and allow their current identity and stories and beliefs to control them instead of them determining what beliefs, what habits, what self-image, what story they want to make real. So in the absence of knowledge and skills, shit doesn't work for people. In the absence of knowing the algorithms, people don't know how to solve Rubik's Cubes, even though they're solvable. Now, in order to solve this, you better be prepared to practice. This one, you know, much easier. You know, the 2x2s that fit into the 2x2s, much easier. But the 3x3, 4x4, 5x5, you want a magical, amazing life? You better be prepared to practice and to learn, you know, to play at that level.
I love that. And focus on starting with it simple. And then if you can handle simplicity, then you can grow to the complexity.
Let's see if you can start with giving yourself a command and having the self-discipline to follow through to completion. You can't do that. Don't expect any of the real good stuff to come your way.
John, brother, thank you so much for your time, your energy, your blessings with us here today. But Nay, to be honest with you, all of us tuning in are hyper aware of the fact that it's not just a day's conversation that you're sharing with us. This is a lifetime's body of work that we're just, you know, that informs this conversation and the grace with which how much ground we've covered today. Man, thank you so much for sharing yourself so abundantly with us and just again, helping everybody achieve even more again and again, you know, just from the inner world and providing so much context in your outer world for us to believe that the inner work really works, man. Really, kudos. Thank you so much for your blessings. And on behalf of everybody, myself and the Inspired Evolution community, the hundreds of thousands of people that are tuning in, we all want to wish you all the best for everything that's coming up. For those that are tuning in, we'll put in links to the inner size book. You heard only two of the inner sizes here today. There is many more inner sizes in the inner size book to help you break through the barriers that are holding you back so that you can achieve your life's biggest goals and dreams. And we'll add the link to that in the show notes for you to grab a hold of. And if you want to get in touch with John, what's the best place to do that online, John? Is it NeuroGym?
MyNeuroGym.com is my company, MyNeuroGym.com. And then I'm on Instagram every day, you know, posting stuff. I'm on Clubhouse now, you know, doing stuff there. I'm on Twitter, on my Facebook fan page at John Assaraf, which is both Instagram and Facebook. And so, you know, come check out my work and let's have some fun.
For sure, guys. Get engaged. We've just scratched the surface. There is such a depth to the body of work here. You will not be disappointed. Thanks again, John.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for listening in to another amazing episode of The Inspired Evolution. If you're loving these episodes, make your way across to YouTube, click subscribe. Fresh episodes are launched every Monday with highlights being released throughout the week. Thank you so much. And hey guys, just so you know, a lot of love, heart, soul, and work goes into these episodes. So if you could, please leave us a 5-star review and comment on iTunes. I love reading your positive feedback. It fans the flames of the passion to continue to create and help you live the life that you love. Thank you so much for your wonderful feedback. I can't wait to see you again in the next episode. Big love from Amrit. And remember to stay inspired to evolve.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.